Morning, and I'd just like to start with a verse from Acts 1:11, and we see there, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And so last Thursday evening here at the chapel, at the Bible study, we celebrated Ascension Day, when we remembered that Jesus rose up into heaven. He was on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, giving them some last-minute instructions just to wait there until you receive the Holy Spirit, wait in Jerusalem. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. If you were there, what would you have done? The disciples are saying, these angels come along and say to the disciples, why are you standing looking up into heaven? Was there something else they should have been doing? They'd just seen Jesus float up into the sky, and there they were. Wow, I don't know, your best friend just he did give lots of warning about it. And these angels say, don't worry, one day he's going to come back in the same way. And that's incredible, isn't it? To introduce our central character this morning, we have a quiz. So we go through some questions. When you know the answer to the is a person we're looking for, just stand up and we'll see how quickly we can all stand up. So, who am I? I was full of the Holy Spirit. I was accused of blasphemy. My first recorded words were brothers and fathers. False witness testified against me. False witnesses. I fell asleep. I gave quite a speech. My face was like an angel's. My last words were, do not hold this sin against them. I saw heaven open. People covered their ears when I spoke. I prayed as I died. Saul watched me die. I was stoned to death. I was the first Christian martyr. I am Stephen. Okay, Stephen, well done. And Brian, you no need to have stood up. You look tall, sat down. But that's fine. I'm pleased you were there. That's great. So, so our hand sign for Stephen is we're going to pull the clouds of the sky apart and see the Lord Jesus up there and say, Stephen. And we do it with a smile on our face, because Stephen was actually elated to be seeing Jesus in heaven. But to begin with the beginning of the New Testament, we go Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen. Okay, so our first reading, and could I ask somebody on the front row for this one, please? Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. It's just a couple of tricky words, that's why I'm picking on the front row there. I'll bring the microphone over for... Yeah, thank you, Brian. Great.
And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, so last time I spoke, it was about servant leaders and how we all need to take a role in the life of the church. We can all be a leader in those terms, just doing part of the job which we see in front of us. Stephen was one of the first of the seven leaders, of those servant leaders, to be chosen to help with the distribution of food to the widows. And so in our modern thinking, we could say, yeah, you're in the food bank, Stephen. And verse 5 says, which we didn't read, verse 5, says he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing to be remembered for. Verse 8 goes even further. A man full of God's grace and power, performing many miracles and signs among the people. But you see, Stephen didn't say, "Oh, I'm too important or I'm too clever to work in the food bank." He was given that job and he got on to do it. He served where he could and did what he was able. But this ordinary man became amazing because he allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. And as we know, even the most humble people of us can get proud. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, "From pride comes all contention," or pride leads to conflict. Let us be willing to serve as we are able, to defend our faith to others and to share what we know about Jesus in a humble way. Verse 9 talks about the synagogue of freed slaves. So I kind of looked this bit up to try and understand what these people were, who they were. They're only mentioned just once in the Bible, I think. And it goes on to say they were Jews from all around Asia, and so that's Turkey, and down in Alexandria, so that's Egypt. So I think they would call them Hellenistic Jews. They were Jews living outside of Israel. But they'd been freed, possibly by the Romans, and they'd got together and formed a synagogue. Synagogue was kind of like a church. You know, the temple was in Jerusalem, that was a big one, but in each town they would have synagogues. And if there were so many men in a certain place, they could form a synagogue. And so this is what these people had done. They'd formed their own synagogue and called it the Synagogue of Freed Slaves, or something similar, depending on your Bible version. And they started a debate with Stephen about Jesus. So these were Jewish believers in God and the Old Testament. And they were concerned that their Jewish faith was being challenged by these new Christians. And this happens all the way through the book of Acts. You know, we read about Paul going and meeting these people, and he's often getting into trouble. And so we're going to see how Stephen gets on today with these people. But as they debate, verse 10 tells us that they couldn't stand against the wisdom and the spirit that of which Peter spoke. Stephen was just, did I say Peter then? Trying to talk about Stephen, all right? I'm talking about Stephen today. Stephen was debating with these guys, but they couldn't stand against his arguments. He was flooring them because he had the Holy Spirit there with him. And so what they do next is they persuade some other people to tell lies about Stephen. In other words, they'd lost the argument, so now they resort to telling lies. Interestingly, they knew the commandments. They were keen on the commandments. They didn't reckon to break the commandments. And one of those commandments is, do not lie. So what did they do? They got other people to tell the lies. Clever, eh? But who's the big sinner? So they got other people to tell the lies for them about Stephen. And but these guys, they were freed slaves. They'd known physical slavery in some form or another. We don't know what. But but now they were free. But were they actually free? Because their Old Testament belief should have led them to Jesus, the Messiah. But they weren't interested in finding their Messiah, it seems. We got an old memory verse, John 3:19. Should we say this together? And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3, verse 19. They didn't like the light because their deeds were evil. A frightening, frightening thought when we can see inside of ourselves sometimes that we're not as good as we want to be. Another old memory verse, John 8:36. Altogether, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8, verse 36. And I want to read actually the whole context for that that quote, that verse we just read. So I wonder if I can go to the back row this time, and for Logan or Isla to give us a read. Thank you. There's several screens.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do not do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God. I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God."
Thank you, Isla. And so quite a long little passage there that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees there. And Jesus says, if you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they're saying, we're not slaves. You know, we have Abraham as our father, the great sort of thing that a Jewish person would say. Abraham is our father. How can we be a slave? But you see, Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham believed God. That's a big thing about Abraham. God said to him, "I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to have many descendants." And he didn't have any at that moment. And he was getting old. But he believed that God would honor his promise. So Abraham was a man of faith. But these people, they didn't believe in Jesus. And they weren't people of faith. They were people of tradition. And Jesus goes much further. In verse 34, he says, "You are children of the devil." A stark thing to say to people who believed in God. It was not enough to believe in God. Once we believe, we have to do something about it. We have to, we need God's forgiveness and his transforming power. It's not just enough to believe in God. Yeah, there's a nice God up there in heaven. We have to ask for God's forgiveness for our sin. But the people here weren't listening to Jesus. Their minds were closed. Those religious leaders, they went to the synagogue every week, but they didn't want the Messiah of the Old Testament to be confronted by that Messiah. But what about us? You know, it is possible to come to church every week, but have our minds closed to Jesus. The people in our reading before that one, the people did not listen to Stephen. They just banged on with their own arguments, and then they had to turn to lies to continue the discussion because they were not listening. They were slaves to the Old Testament, to the law. And they didn't understand that the Old Testament was leading them to Jesus. Our human nature means that we need something to serve or somebody to serve. Galatians 5 is quite clear. If we serve our sinful nature, we will fall into all sorts of harmful habits and sins. But if we serve the Holy Spirit, our lives will produce good fruit. And an old memory verse, Galatians 5, 22, 23, altogether. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you know, it's easy to look around and point your finger at various people. Politicians are always a good target, and accuse them of being self-serving. Or we could look at the media and accuse them of stirring up dissent just to make a good story, perhaps. But we need to ask ourselves, who are we serving? Who are we serving? What drives us? Is it money? Is it status? Is it power? Or the next big purchase? You know, what are we saving our money for? Life would be so great when we've got this certain thing. Or are we a little more modest and just want the cleanest car in the road or the smartest garden, perhaps? You know, what are we serving? It's a good question to ask ourselves. A little bit tricky to answer, honestly. But always good to ask, what are we serving? Because it makes that much difference. If we're serving the Holy Spirit, then he will produce good fruit in us. But if we're serving ourselves, that whole list in Galatians 5 is not a pretty reading. And so these men who were debating with Stephen, they're defeated by Stephen's wisdom and the Spirit of God in him. And so they tell lies. They get other people to do their dirty work. And they go on and say, we've heard him blaspheme against Moses. And this was the worst sort of sin for a Jew, especially for one in the Sanhedrin, because they only had accepted the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. That was what their Bible was, just Moses. And they didn't go on with the prophets who prophesied about Messiah coming. And this is just shows us so clearly we need to read the whole Bible. And as Christians today, we can easily say, oh, we don't really need the Old Testament, you know, because it's a bit in places, you know, we struggle and it's I think, what is going on? But we need the whole Bible. The Old Testament gives a context for the New Testament where we see the Messiah very clearly. And verse 13 of our reading, the evidence was laid out before them. The lying witnesses said, this man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs of Moses that Moses handed down to us. And so they lay out these accusations against Stephen. But they're all distracted. All of a sudden, because Stephen's face becomes as bright as an angel's face. I haven't seen an angel's face, but his face is like that. And I can just imagine that Stephen was so desperate to be led by the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit was just inside of him, glowing, making his face shine like that. So we can pause in our story there And take our hymn books again. Hymn 967. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not for me, he died on Calvary. And it just seems that Stephen was reveling in his salvation at this moment. You know, his face was shining. It was just so incredible. He was seeing Jesus. He was knowing Jesus with him in the Holy Spirit. Very, very real. And what about us? You know, do our faces shine when we think about Jesus? I remember the baptism service we had, and Dee's face was shining just like it is now. Not quite like the angel, but it was really good. And I'm sure Sydney's was as well. And, you know, can we let our faces shine as we sing and we revel in our salvation with this hymn? Okay, so if you know this story, you will know that Stephen goes on to give a sermon. He speaks in front of all these Sanhedrin, all these people who were in the synagogue. And he goes all the way through the Old Testament. So I'm going to do the Old Testament in about a minute and a half or 2 minutes perhaps now, just very briefly for you, with the hand signs I'm doing in Curry Rival School at the moment. So we go creation, fall. You can join me if you like, if you know them, feel free. Start again. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings and feasts, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law. It's a book of Deuteronomy. Joshua, divide and conquer. 12 tribes, judges. That's on a bike. It's a cycle of judges. Deborah, Gideon, Samson, loving Ruth. Samuel, a man who listened to God. Samuel. United Kingdom. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half heart. Divided kingdom. Mostly bad kings. Where do we go now? Mostly bad kings. Israel, scattered. Judah, exiled. Judah, returned. Zerubbabel, temple. Esther, queen. Ezra, people. Nehemiah, walls. Wait, Christ. And so the Old Testament there, but Stephen did it so much better in his sermon. I don't want to leave you any doubt there. But it's quite a long bit, so we miss that out and we jump through to verse 51 and take up our reading there. So if I can pop back to the back row and see Logan, that would be great. Thank you, Logan.
You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your father not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you may have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by the angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep.
Thank you, Logan. Okay, thank you. So we also just pop back to Acts 7, 49 and 50. And we just, have you got that one on, Jill, or not? No? Yes? And this is a quote from Isaiah, actually, I think. And it's God is saying, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?" And this is in response to the people accusing when they say that Jesus said that he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And they're obviously revering their temple. And yet Stephen is quoting this verse, Adam, and God is saying, "Do you know what? The temple is impressive. Yeah, it's a big, wonderful building, but God has created the whole heavens and the whole earth. And he uses the earth as a footstool." You know, God has got so much bigger frame of mind on this. You know, we may have seen pictures from the recent astronauts that went up away from the earth and took a picture of the earth from up there in space. And, you know, you may have loved those pictures. But, you know, God uses what he's saying here, that God uses this world as his footstool. You know, it puts it into a different perspective. How big is our God, you know? They could just see the temple being such a splendid building. But here Stephen was saying, God has made everything. And he even considers the whole world just to be like a footstool, somewhere to rest your feet. And yet, how great is God? How big is our God? And so in verse 51 there, Stephen applies his sermon. And we all need to apply our faith to our lives. It's no good just having a head knowledge or head faith even about God. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, it's quite a nice thing to do. We need to apply the faith into our daily lives. And Stephen here, we see he's not mincing his words. In fact, he's saying very straight. He said, "You haven't learned any lessons from the Old Testament. You are unbelieving and deaf to the truth. Must you continually resist the Holy Spirit? The prophets predicted the coming of the Messiah, but you persecuted the prophets. You killed them. And the Messiah came, and you even betrayed and murdered him." When Jesus, we remember, you know, the Easter story of the religious leaders crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him, we don't want him." And Stephen has reminded him that you guys crucified the Messiah. And now the leaders are really worked up. They're shaking their fists. They're grinding their teeth. They're so angry. It's unbelievable. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looks up into heaven and he sees the glory of God. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand side of God. And he's kind of saying, "If you don't believe what I'm telling you, just have a look. You can see Jesus there right with God now." You know, he's saying, "Don't worry about my words. Just look upwards and see Jesus." And so Stephen is there seeing Jesus. And yet these people are far too angry to even look upwards. They just drag Stephen off outside to be stoned to death. And we read of them taking their coats off and leaving them in the care of Saul. Now, we don't really know why they took their coats off, but it could have been that they all looked the same when they don't take their coats off, because they would have had special robes, I think. And so you couldn't really tell who was throwing the stones. It was just these bunch of people in their underwear, really, doing whatever. Or it could be just that it was hot work, so they couldn't do it with their coats on. Who knows? But a little aside there. But do you know what? During this time, Stephen still had his eyes and his mind on Jesus. And he's praying to Jesus. He's saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." And he falls down on his knees and he prays for his enemies in these last moments of his life. And he says, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And then he dies. He is the first Christian martyr recorded there. And it's interesting that when Jesus was on the cross about to die, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." And so Stephen is following that example. Stephen, one of the most amazing servant leaders that we've read about so far, who allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. And we remember this guy 2,000 years later because of his life in these few moments. What a legacy, you know, to be remembered 2,000 years later in such a positive way. So that is our little bit about Stephen. So let's just go through our New Testament hand signs and remind ourselves how far we're coming through the Bible. This is what we're trying to do, to get the big picture of the New Testament as we go. So we go Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, amazing guy. And he was amazing because he allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him in his life. We'll have a hymn now, and then we'll have a time of prayer.